Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, February 11, 2022, Section A. MPD Chief, 100 more officers needed. By Stuart Doreen. During the Midland City Council planning session, Police Chief Seth Herman got the question, how many officers does he need for the police department to be where it needs to be? The answer was 100. That's how many officers Herman believes will make his force more proactive. Here's where the Midland Police Department currently stands. Herman told the Reporter Telegram that currently the allocated or budgeted number of officers is 195. However, there are 30 vacancies. Should those who have graduated from Police Academy or the lateral transfers make it through the field training officer program, then the number of vacancies would decrease to 18. Herman said another Police Academy is scheduled to begin on February 14th. The good news is the 18 vacancies is a far cry from the 52 3 years ago. In West Texas, filling most workforce positions can be a challenge. The police department is no different. The bad news is the police department isn't just 18 new recruits away from the current allotted positions, but 118 from meeting Herman's ideal number. The council left its planning session with a goal that the allotted number, again 195 officers, would increase 5 a year. Yes, city leaders are raising the bar for an allocation they likely can't reach now, but if they're true to their word, Herman said incremental increases raises the bar. It gives us a goal for the future. Why the need for so many officers? Herman told the Midland City Council that the allotted number of officers has changed by just 5 in the last 10 years. That means while the population has spiked by 30,000 or more, the number of officers able to be hired lagged. Again, maybe the allotment issue hasn't come to the forefront previously because of the problems keeping a full police force in Midland. As Herman told the Telegram, there are always people leaving through a revolving door into the oil field or shorter-term positions, paying a salary that is hard for the public sector to compete with. However, the population isn't the only reason why the allotment needs to increase. Herman said the type of crime and proximity to a more porous border are issues that make policing in Midland different as the community dives deeper into the 21st century. Human trafficking and the drug trade are factors. Herman said most crime has a nexus in drugs, and it starts with use. The demand provides a reason for gangs and importers to target Midland Odessa with meth, something that Herman said is prolific right now. But the drug trade here also includes fentanyl, which the DEA describes as a synthetic opioid that is 80 to 100 times stronger than morphine. They buy what they think is OxyContin, Herman said. Fentanyl is deadly compared to OxyContin. Prescription drug abuse is huge. A lot of kids are taking drugs that their parents are taking legally. A prime example is Xanax. Herman said the drug traffic and human trafficking create crimes that branch off. Midland Police Department statistics show homicide increased from 5 to 12 in 2020. In fact, the 12 homicides in 2020 were 5 more than any year going back to at least 2010. Also increasing from 2019 were rape, aggravated assault, and burglary. MPD told the Reporter Telegram this week that arrests went up by 54% in 2021. They also reported the following statistics for 2021. 11 homicides, 130 rapes, 44 robberies, 380 aggravated assaults, 321 burglaries, 1,880 thefts, 30 motor vehicle thefts. That means crime dropped in 6 of 7 categories and by 20% overall. How does Herman feel about building a new jail? The fourth-year police chief will tell you he wants an increase in bed space, no matter how that happens. Midland County officials have said that initial studies have shown the number of beds that the Midland County Jail should have needs to increase from 500 to 750 or 1,000, depending on the general population. Herman is for it. He said for a policing role, incarcerating the criminal is the only way to decrease crime. The same, he said, is true with juveniles who are certain to spend less time in detention because of the lack of beds. We need to build another facility with more capacity, Herman said about overall jail space. Craddock touts boost to health care in the city by Stuart Doreen. State Representative Tom Craddock told the Midland County Republican Women this week that the 2021 legislative session was big for health care in the city. From expansion of the Texas Tech Physician Assistance Program at Midland College, to the money earmarked for a mental health facility between Midland and Odessa, to a surgical residency, health care might have been the biggest benefactor in Midland and around the Permian Basin. Craddock talked about the PA program that he said has expanded from 20 to 64 students each year. We have 1,900 applicants for those 64 slots, Craddock told the country club people, and I passed a bill to increase it from 64 to 120. Craddock referenced the $18 million appropriated for the expansion of the PA program building on the north side of Midland College campus. He also said that a key feature of the expansion will be a lab that makes the PA program one of the few in the country that has the lab facilities here. Craddock told the MCRW audience that his wife Nadine, who connected with the wife of the Speaker of the House to make a $40 million commitment to mental health in Midland, Odessa possible. He said the money that will help fund the building of a mental health facility came from money the federal government gave to the state through the American Rescue Plan. None of the money went to individual districts except ours, Craddock said. The two of them got us our $40 million. A 100-bed facility is what Craddock said is planned, and he added that several foundations in Midland have already offered to help to provide what's needed to fulfill the hospital. The hospital is set to be the only mental health hospital in this area. Lubbock doesn't have one. San Angelo doesn't have one. That will take care of all the Permian Basin. Craddock said a surgical program is coming to Midland, Odessa, as a result of the legislative session. It will be a program expected to bring more Texas Tech residents to local medical facilities. We have never been able to do it, Craddock said. We'll have more people in the area surgically than we've ever had before. Other legislative highlights, according to Craddock. If Texas was its own country, it would have the ninth largest economy in the world, and we're bigger than Russia with or without Ukraine. The legislature appropriated $2.9 billion for border and $1 billion for the wall. Lawmakers approved a one-time supplemental payment to retired teachers and school district retirees. I think it's a sin for us not to be paying our teachers and that they're struggling on a retirement. We're spending $250 billion in a two-year period. I think we can take care of retired teachers. Regarding constitutional carry, which became state law, Craddock said the calls to his office were 10-1 in favor. Man, 33, sentenced to 60 years on murder tampering charges. A Midland County jury sentenced a 33-year-old Arkansas man to 60 years in prison for murder, tampering with evidence, and tampering with a corpse, according to the DA's office. On Tuesday, a jury also assessed Willie O.T. Henderson 10 years in prison on each count of tampering. The trial began on January 31st. The evidence, according to the news release, showed that on October 19, 2018, Henderson and others went to his neighbor's apartment and shot the victim in the abdomen, causing him to be instantly paralyzed from the waist down. Henderson then stepped over the victim and ransacked the apartment. On his way out of the apartment, Henderson collected the victim's phones and keys and locked the door, preventing the discovery of the victim's body until Sunday afternoon. While the victim was undiscovered, Henderson moved the victim's truck to another apartment complex 2 blocks away, and while walking back to his apartment, disposed of the victim's phones in a roadside ditch. The victim's brothers discovered the body after the victim failed to show up for work, and no one was able to get in touch with him. The police were notified, and the investigation revealed Henderson's DNA on the victim's phones, where he removed the SIM cards, the victim's blood on Henderson's shoe, shoe prints from the same pair of shoes beside the victim's body. Due to prior convictions for sexual assault and aggravated assault in Arkansas, Henderson faced an enhanced punishment range of 15 years up to 99 years or life in prison for murder, 2 years to 20 years in prison for tampering with evidence, and 5 years to 99 years or life in prison for tampering with a corpse. Henderson served a 14-year sentence on the sexual assault and aggravated assault and was released in May of 2018, 5 months before committing the murder. The case was tried by Assistant DA Cal McCardle and Lacey Holloman. Judge Leah Robertson presided over the trial. TEDx Midland sets date for collaboration event by J.C. Lewis. 5 local speakers will be speaking on collaboration, ideas worth spreading for Midland, during a TEDx Midland talk later this month. TEDx is a program of local self-organized events that brings people together to share a TED-like experience. The event will begin at 8 a.m. February 25th at the Midland Community Theater. The events are branded TEDx because X means an independently organized TED event. Speakers will include Executive Director for Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, Adrian Vega, Executive Director of Scarborough Foundation, Grant Billingsley, Partner in Charge of Tax Services for Weaver and Tidwell, Laura Roman, Chief Executive Officer of Permian Strategic Partnership, Tracy Bentley, and Founder and Executive Director of Maybe in Midland, Odessa, Kevin Dawson. For more information about each speaker, visit the TED site. Tickets will be $100. USGS reports another quake by Mercedes Cordero. The U.S. Geological Survey reported an earthquake west of Garden City on Thursday morning. It reported a 3.4 magnitude quake at 11:45 a.m. The quake took place 15 miles west of Garden City at a depth of 8.5 miles. Thursday's quake is the 6th in the last week in the Midland-Odessa area. The quakes range from 2.0 to 3.4. EarthquakeTrack.com reported 22 quakes around Midland-Odessa in the past year, in the past 30 days, and 255 in the past year. Check out Midland's Most Anticipated Eateries by J.C. Lewis. Mr. Chip's Kitchen will be opening in the first quarter of 2022. The restaurant will be an Asian fusion with dumplings, noodles, sushi, and other food and drink options. Chef Chip Height's new restaurant will be located in the former Old Basin Burger building. Chewy's will finally open a location in Midland in the former Logan's Roadhouse location. Chewy's opened in 1982 in an abandoned Texas barbecue joint in Austin. The fajita chicken burrito, smothered in their signature queso sauce, is a big hit among fans. Rusty Tacos will open this year. The restaurant offers breakfast tacos, a variety of handmade tacos, including brisket, roasted pork, fried chicken, and a cauliflower vegan option. Guacamole, queso, pico de gallo, salsa, margaritas, bottled Mexican cola, jarritos, fancy beer, churros, and sopapillas. The restaurant also offers a kids menu. The new joint will be open in San Miguel Square. Waystone Board Game Cafe and Nano Brewery will be a family-friendly spot with board games customers can rent to play. Along with selling alcohol beverages, the cafe will sell homemade root beer, coffee, and other drinks. A food truck will be parked outside offering food options. The cafe and brewery will be in the Plaza Oaks shopping area. Tall City Axe House will be an axe bar with 4 axe-throwing lanes. All axe throwers will be limited to 2 alcoholic drinks, and coaches will monitor the lanes for safety. The axe bar will be on Front Street. Shipley's Donuts, second location, is currently under construction. The donut shop is known for their glazed donuts, but offers cake donuts, kolaches, coffee, and more. The new shop will be at 2201 West Wall. Buffalo Joe's announced in its Instagram that because of the support from customers, the food truck will open a full-service restaurant. The food truck specializes in wings and fries with a variety of sauces. Signage went up Thursday at the old 42 restaurant at 106 South A. The restaurant isn't ready for dine-in, but is open for orders from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Black Rifle Coffee Company's second location will be built at 3212 West Wadley. The company shop has put up signage, but has yet to start construction. The veteran-owned coffee company not only offers different coffee drinks, but has also partnered with local bakeries, including Floor Chill Baked Goods for a biscotti and Bite at the Vineyard for a variety of different breakfast pastries. Preso Tea will open a location at 4416 Briarwood. The Bubble Tea Shop brews and serves each cup of tea within 2 minutes. The Facebook page posted that the store will be opening in February. Midland Meat Company's new shop will open sometime early this year. The 5,000-square-foot state-of-the-art facilities will carry Scarborough Ranch's Angus and Wagyu cattle lines. The store will be located behind the old Midland Meat Company with 2200 North Loma Drive as its address. Baxter's Coffee House has put up signage at 801 West Missouri. The coffee shop doesn't have an online presence at this time. Espresso Bean Cafe, which was started in Andrews, said in a Facebook post that the coffee shop would expand to Midland. The shop will open in Midland Park Mall sometime this year. Wendy's will add two locations in Midland, the first at Pavilion Park, North Big Spring Street, and the second by Walmart on Rankin Highway. And Chick-fil-A and Whataburger will open new restaurants at the 1100 block of West Walcott in South Midland. Benito Juarez passed away last week. A viewing will be on Friday, February 11th from 11 to 9 p.m., Rosary at 7 p.m., at Luella Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A 10 a.m. funeral mass will be at 10 a.m. on Saturday, February 12th, at the Funeral Chapel in Midland. Betty Ann Staton passed away on February 5th. She will have a memorial service on February 14th at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home in Odessa.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, February 11th, 2022. ODC appoints four to Compliance Committee. The Odessa Development Corporation appointed four new Compliance Committee members during its regular monthly meeting Thursday. Judy Hayes and David Sean Rodriguez III were appointed to the board after receiving 6 votes each. Brian Green received 5 votes, and Eric C. Augustson garnered 4 votes. The fifth applicant for the position, Ted Tumanowski, missed out on the seat after receiving 3 votes. Tumanowski was previously on an ODC board member. A few months ago, the ODC board agreed it wanted to expand the compliance committee up to a maximum of 12 members, up from 10, said board member David Bouton. With one member resigning and one, quote, terming out, end quote, the board had 4 open seats. The board also reappointed current committee members Betsy Triplett-Hurt, Blake Batt, and Chris Walker. Helping out. Salvation Army gets help from United Rainier. For the third consecutive year, United Supermarkets and Rainier Fruits teamed up to donate socks to the Salvation Army of Odessa and the Salvation Army of Midland for its Pairs for Pairs initiative. On Thursday, 1,000 pairs of socks were split between Odessa and Midland. The donation took place Thursday at United Supermarket, located on West County Road. For each purchase of Rainier fruits, pears, and apples during the fall and winter months, a portion of the proceeds went to purchasing socks to donate to organizations that support the homeless community. Quote, today we're here to celebrate a wonderful occasion that we've had to prepare for with Rainier Fruits. End quote. Regional Produce Supervisor at United Supermarket, Ricky Holman, said, quote, Rainier Fruits and the United family have paired together and a portion of all the proceeds that are earned through purchasing our gifts, purchasing our pears, apples, and Rainier Fruits. A portion of that went back to purchasing socks, and then we were able to team up with the Salvation Army and donate those socks back to the Salvation Army to help the homeless. End quote. The donation is part of a region-wide effort from the United Family and Rainier Fruits. United supermarkets across the state of Texas have donated socks to other local Salvation Armies. This year, a total of 5,000 pairs of socks will be donated to charitable organizations throughout Texas, including the Salvation Army. Quote, this is the third year that we've had the opportunity to team up with the Salvation Army and Rainier Fruits, end quote, Holman said. Quote, we've donated over 15,000 pairs of socks in those 3 years, end quote. Other organizations in the state that will receive socks, in addition to the Salvation Army of Odessa and the Salvation Army of Midland, include the Salvation Army in Amarillo, Lubbock, and Abilene, and Faith Mission of Wichita Falls. Quote, it's a wonderful opportunity, end quote, Holman said. Quote, anyone can sell groceries, but we in the United Family pride ourselves on serving the communities and giving back to the communities that give to us. After all, that's what we're here for. We're here to be a good community partner and be more than just a grocery store. It means a lot to us because it fits our culture, end quote. Salvation Army of Odessa Major Luis Melendez said he is excited for this partnership. Quote, it's community and it goes back locally, end quote, Melendez said. Quote, the homeless will get them and anyone who comes through our social services office, and we know that it's cold. We're really pleased that this opportunity is available. There are many ways that the community can give and the local business. When homeless do get any item, a pair of socks, a glove, anything, they're really excited and grateful and know that they can go the extra mile. This is going the extra mile for those in need, end quote. Bond package coming to a vote. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will consider voting on a bond package that would include a new high school, career and technical education center, technology upgrades, and maintenance. The board will mull the action at their next meeting scheduled for 6 p.m. Tuesday in the first floor boardroom of the administration building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Superintendent Scott Murray noted the meeting was coming up during his February 9th media call. A bond advisory committee met for months to discuss needs and possibilities and presented to the board in January. Along with the facilities, the committee recommended that the bond be below $400 million, quote, if at all possible, end quote, and that the election be held in May. The high school would be $183 million, the Career and Technical Education Center, $70 million, technology updates, $15 million, priority one life cycle needs, $52.8 million, and Priority 2 life cycle needs, $122.3 million. Priority 1 are projects that should be addressed immediately in the next 1 to 2 years, the board recap said. Priority 2 are projects that should be addressed in the next 3 to 5 years. The full recommendation from the committee exceeded the $400 million. With district leaders and an architect, trustees reviewed 3 different options for reducing the cost of the life cycle needs and the overall cost of the bond package. Quote, and our trustees are committed to that, and last night, February 8th, as a part of the discussion, they really favored a proposal that was under $400 million. So I feel very confident that when the trustees vote next week, that they'll be voting on a package that is below $400 million, Murray said during the call. The option of the board was leaning toward was $398.2 million. Murray said the district asked the engineers to find items that were proposed that could be delayed for 5 years, quote, until the next bond, but it wouldn't cause harm to the school, end quote. Quote, nothing was removed that would affect the safety of our students or staff members in any of our buildings, end quote, he said. On a separate topic, Murray said there has been significant growth among kindergartners because of full-day pre-kindergarten. Quote, every year in ECISD, as well as in schools across the state of Texas, we measure the level of readiness of our kindergartners. Last year, we had 33% of our students that were prepared for kindergarten, end quote, Murray said. Quote, that was simply not enough for us. As our community is well aware, our Board of Trustees have invested deeply in our pre-kindergarten program. Last night, they were able to see the dramatic results of transitioning our four-year-old pre-K from half-day to a full-day pre-K program. Our kindergartners increased 13 points from last year to this year in their level of readiness, and the single change that we made as an organization is a big investment in pre-kindergarten, end quote, Murray said. He noted that going to full-day kindergarten means the district's 1,800 pre-K children are spending twice as much time with their teachers. This year, they have added three-year-olds to pre-kindergarten, which Murray said should increase kindergarten readiness even more. Murray said the district is, quote, incredibly proud, end quote, of this accomplishment on behalf of the children and pre-K teachers. Quote, their hard work and attention to our students certainly paid off. Again, all of this was done in the middle of a pandemic, so our kids and our teachers overcame great obstacles to show that kind of improvement. So congratulations to our pre-K teachers and the kids last year that traveled through pre-K and are now kindergartners, end quote, Murray said. Due to a snow day last week, February 21st will be a school day. It has been scheduled for a snow day. Quote, in ECISD, our kids go to school for 180 days, end quote, Murray said. He added that research shows the longer students are in school, the more successful they are academically. Quote, in addition to that, by going to school 180 days, the Texas Education Agency funds our entire summer learning experience for kids. So we not only have 180 days throughout the year for students, but in addition to that, because we go 180 days, we have an opportunity to educate students throughout the summer months. We've added 30 days to the elementary calendar, so we're excited about that opportunity for kids, end quote, he said. On a side note, Murray said the redistricting committee, made up of representatives from five different taxing entities in Ector County, has no definite date to meet again. Quote, we're actually waiting on our redistricting attorney to finish some data analysis, and once that process is done, we'll post for the next meeting. We anticipate it will be at the end of February or early March before those data elements are available for us to analyze, end quote, Murray said. Landgraf endorsed by Pro-Life Alliance. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, has been endorsed for re-election to the Texas House of Representatives by Texas Alliance for Life, a press release detailed. Quote, like most West Texans, I believe that every human life is a gift from God, and I'm unapologetically pro-life, end quote, Landgraf stated in the press release. Quote, I'm thankful Texas Alliance for Life is part of the fight to protect the unborn in Texas, and I'm proud to have their pro-life endorsement, end quote. The press release detailed that Texas Alliance for Life is a nonprofit organization committed to protecting the fundamental right to life of all innocent human beings and to promoting respect for their value and dignity from the moment of conception until natural death. Dr. Joe Pajman is the founder and executive director of Texas Alliance for Life. Quote, State Representative Brooks Landgraf has been a champion for the unborn during his service to the state as a member of the Texas House of Representatives, end quote, Dr. Pajman stated in the press release. Quote, his voting record speaks for itself. A man of faith and principle, Representative Landgraf is someone we are proud to endorse in the 2022 primary and general elections. Texas needs more leaders like Brooks Landgraf, end quote. During the 2021 Texas legislative session, Landgraf supported several successful efforts to advance pro-life legislation, including Senate Bill 8, also known as the Texas Heartbeat Act, the press release stated. SB 8, which Landgraf co-sponsored, prohibits abortions from being performed or induced after the detection of a fetal heartbeat, protecting unborn babies from abortion. Landgraf also co-authored House Bill 1280 in 2021, which completely protects unborn babies from abortion if the Supreme Court overturns critical Supreme Court cases Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey. SB 8 and HB 1280 both passed and were signed into law by Governor Abbott. Quote, I'm proud of the work we've done to protect the unborn in Texas, end quote, Landgraf stated in the press release. Quote, I'll continue to work hard to see that any legislation that promotes life and protects the unborn is passed into law. That means protecting babies, of course, but also protecting mothers. I'm committed to doing what it takes to make Texas the best place to live, work, and raise a family in the 21st century, end quote. In addition to aiding in the passage of HB 1280 and SB 8 in 2021, Landgraf filed and passed House Bill 902 in 2019, which increased the penalty for assaults against pregnant women to a third-degree felony to reflect that such a heinous act is a crime against both the mother and her unborn child, the press release stated. Prior to the passage of HB 902, assaults against pregnant women were treated like any other assault. During his time as state representative, Landgraf has also worked to provide additional funding for the state's Alternatives to Abortion program, most recently supporting efforts to increase funding for the program by 25% to $100 million in the state budget for 2022-2023, a news release detailed. Local restaurant on Texas Country Reporter. Odessa's Barn Door Restaurant will be featured on the February 19th and 20th episodes of the statewide Texas Country Reporter TV show. Barn Door co-owner Roy Gillian said Wednesday that the 30-minute episode will air at 6:35 p.m. Saturday and 10:35 p.m. Sunday on KWest TV Channel 9. It'll be shown nationally at various times on RFD TV during the weekend of February 26th. Quote, "My wife Tammy and I are very excited about it and glad that Bob and Kelly Phillips thought we were worthy of being on the program," end quote, Gillian said. Explaining that they had never expected to be on TCR, he said, quote, "We try to watch it every Sunday night. I love hearing all the stories and getting to know more about Texas. There's a bridge at San Saba on the way to where my daughter lives in Temple that they drive over at the start of each show," end quote. Gillian said Tammy will not be on the program because she was busy that day in February last year at Johnny's Barbecue in Midland, which the couple also owns, but that the Phillipses said they might return one day to feature Johnny's. Mayors endorse Kinsey for Texas State Board of Education. Mayor Javier Jovan of Odessa and Mayor Patrick Payton of Midland have announced their endorsement of Aaron Kinsey for Texas State Board of Education District 15. Kinsey has also been endorsed by Texas Right to Life PAC, Oil and Gas Workers Association, OGWA, Bienvenido in Action, and Senator Charles Perry, Texas Senate District 28. OEL offers voter guide. The Political Action Committee, known as Odessans for Ethical Leadership, is offering a voter guide for local elections for 2022. According to the group's website, OEL asked all local candidates to give brief answers that included a brief bio, top priorities once in office, and previous experience. The voter guide can be found here. tinyurl.com/2p952rwp. The guide includes the candidates running for 244th District Judge, Ector County Judge, Ector County District Clerk, Ector County Commissioner for Precinct 2, Ector County Commissioner for Precinct 4, Justice of the Peace for Precinct 1, Justice of the Peace for Precinct 2, Justice of the Peace for Precinct 3, and Justice of the Peace for Precinct 4. OEL detailed each candidate's answers to those questions are reproduced verbatim. However, responses that exceeded the pre-disclosed word limitation were cut to be within limitation. The Political Action Committee was formed in late 2021, as its purpose is to provide voters facts on important issues facing them and finding leaders with integrity. OEL was spearheaded by a group of Odessans, which included former Odessa City Council member Dewey Bryant, in response to a misinformation campaign about the $95 million in certificates of obligation to rehabilitate the city's water treatment plant. OPD new officers. Seven new officers were inducted January 28th into the Odessa Police Department as part of the 23rd session graduation ceremony. Inductees are Officer Cameron Lyman, 21, was born and raised in Odessa. He graduated from Odessa High School. He wants to be a better officer than he was the day before and challenge himself to make a difference every day with the Odessa Police Department. His hobbies are CrossFit, golfing, and hanging out with his family and pets. He is the younger brother of Joseph Lyman, and the two went through the Odessa Police Academy together. At the graduation ceremony, Cameron Lyman proposed to his girlfriend, Mariah Lujan. She said yes. Officer Chance Gladden, 21, was born in Philadelphia, PA. He is a veteran of the U.S. Army National Guard. Gladden's hope with the Odessa Police Department is to one day start a cybersecurity unit. He is married to Yanni Gladden and has a daughter, Genesis. He is also following in his father's footsteps. His dad is a state trooper in Rhode Island. His hobbies are traveling, weightlifting, and stock trading. Officer Christopher Torres, 27, was born and raised in Odessa. His goal is to become a homicide detective with the Odessa Police Department. Torres is married to Devin Torres and is the father of Logan and Lennox. Torres has a big heart, especially for kids. In a recent video interview, he talked about the family violence he experienced at a young age. He also remembers the police officers who came to help. He described them as kind and said they comforted him and his younger siblings. It's the reason he wanted to become a police officer. Torres's hobbies are spending time with his two boys, traveling, gaming, and watching the Tennessee Titans. Officer Hector Gutierrez, 25, was born in the city of Inglewood, part of Greater Los Angeles, California. Gutierrez is a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. His hope is to gain experience on patrol and eventually join the Odessa Police Department SWAT team. His hobbies are shooting and playing soccer. He is married to Erica Hernandez. Officer Joel Contreras Jr., 23, was born and raised in the Basin. He graduated from Millen Christian High School. The August 31st mass shooting prompted him to get into law enforcement. Contreras has a bachelor's degree in criminology with a minor in psychology from the University of Texas of the Permian Basin. He is looking forward to working patrol and later joining the intelligence unit with the Odessa Police Department. Contreras' father, Joel Contreras Sr., pinned his badge on him. His hobbies are spending time with family, friends, and playing video games. Officer Joseph Lyman, 31, was born and raised in Odessa. He also owns a gym called 10-4 Elite in Odessa. He is married to Stephanie Lyman, and they're expecting another child. He and his brother went through the Odessa Police Academy together. His incredible journey can be viewed at tinyurl.com/EXYWYZMW. Officer Trenton LeBlanc, 24, was born in Powell, Wyoming. Trenton is married to Victoria and is the father to Lucas and Roman. His goal is to be a future canine unit officer at OPD. LeBlanc has experience as a jailer at the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. Sales tax lower than 2021 number. The City of Odessa's sales tax check, which reflects sales made in December, was 2.46% lower than last December's. According to a City of Odessa news release, the city just received a check of nearly $5.8 million, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive slightly more than $1,153,000 of it. The year-to-date total sales tax revenue for FY 2022 is up nearly 34%, or nearly $5 million, compared to the budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year, according to the city. The city has budgeted $37,500,000 in net sales tax revenues for the whole fiscal year. According to Medical Center Hospital, the hospital will receive just under $4.4 million in sales tax, an increase of about $45,000 from this time last year. TRC IDs earthquake-causing wells. The Texas Railroad Commission has identified the 14 saltwater disposal wells that have continued to operate since the RRC's December order to shut down 33 wells that were suspected in the increasing frequency and severity of earthquakes in the Permian Basin. Referring to the area on which the Oil and Natural Gas Regulating Agency is focusing, TRC spokesman Andrew Keese of Austin said, quote, "The Gardendale Seismic Response Area was created to help reduce the magnitude and frequency of earthquakes and to protect residents." Quote, "As part of that effort, the RRC suspended 33 deep injection wells indefinitely," end quote, Keese detailed in an email. Quote, "As per the agency's rules that ensure due process, operators of 14 wells requested hearings and can continue operations while cases are pending." Quote, "However, many of those have also applied to convert their wells to shallow disposal and could withdraw their hearing requests once the process is complete," end quote. The operators are Rattler Midstream Operating with 4, Wasser Operating with 3, Crown Quest Operating and Solaris Water Midstream with 2 each, and Callan Petroleum Operating, COG Operating, and Environmental Disposal Systems with 1 each. These are the wells: Castleman 8, well number 1D, operator Callan Petroleum Operating; Spanish Trail, well number 200SW, COG Operating; Nail Ranch 36, well number 1D, Crown Quest Operating; Waterburger, well number 1D, Crown Quest Operating; Northwest Midland SWD, well number 1WD, Environmental Disposal Systems; HMW, well number 1, Rattler Midstream Operating; HMW, well number 2, Rattler Midstream Operating; Rattler well number 1D, Rattler Midstream Operating; Dyson well number 1D, Rattler Midstream Operating; DJK48 SWD Well Number 1 Solaris Water Midstream. Catalyst SWD Well Number 1 Solaris Water Midstream. Maybe South SWD Well Number 2 Wasser Operating. Maybe 3 SWD Well Number 3 Wasser Operating. Maybe SWD Well Number 1 Wasser Operating. Harmony Science Academy postpones STEM Expo. Due to unforeseen circumstances, the Harmony Science Academy Odessa STEM Expo that was scheduled to be held at the Music City Mall on Saturday will be postponed to February 26th. Harmony apologizes for any inconvenience this may cause. Names in the news. Dean's List. Clinton, Mississippi. Haley Bergen of Andrews has been named to the Dean's List at Mississippi College for the fall semester. To be eligible for the Dean's List, a student must maintain a 3.5 grade point average based on a 4.0 system. The student must take a full course load of at least 12 semester hours of undergraduate credit with all academic courses impacting their grade point average. Des Moines, Iowa, Bethany Womo of Andrews has been named to the Dean's List at Drake University for the fall semester. To be eligible, students must have earned a grade point average of 3.5 or higher during the fall 2021 semester. Williamsburg, Virginia. Mark Fanus of Odessa has been named to the Dean's List at the College of William and Mary for the fall semester. In order to achieve Dean's List status, a full-time degree-seeking undergraduate student must take at least 12 credit hours and earn a 3.6 quality point average during the semester. Obituaries. Kenneth Zach Little. Odessa. Kenneth Zach Little, 89, left his home on earth and entered his heavenly home peacefully on February 4th, 2022. He was surrounded by family and loved ones. Kenneth was born on November 28, 1932, to Alvis and Johnny Lee Little. Kenneth is preceded in death by his wife, Brenda, his parents, brother, Billy, and sister, Louise. He is survived by his spouse, Jean, daughters, Debbie Keen, Doug, Denise Elford, Mike, son, Keith, Cherina, grandchildren, Wes Sheets, Patty Joe, Casey Del Medico, Brent Sheets, Stacy, Amanda Sheets, Blaschke, Mike, Jessica Wagner, and Tyler Little. He is also survived by 9 great-grandchildren and numerous nephews, nieces, and cousins. Kenneth was laid to rest on February 10th at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa, Texas. Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home managed all the arrangements. In lieu of flowers, Kenneth's wishes were that you would please donate to Spirit and Truth Church, 4060 Faudry Road, Suite 104A, Box 118, Odessa, Texas, 79765. Online contributions can be made at spiritandtruthodessa.org. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Charlotte Lionel Klein LaRoque, Blackwell. Charlotte Klein LaRoque was called home on February 1st, 2022. She was the firstborn to Charlie and Barbara Klein on November 3rd, 1959 in Weatherford, Texas. She was preceded in death by her parents and her brother Scott. Charlotte is survived by her husband Bruce of 25 years, daughters Keisha Petty of Tyler, Texas, Chelsea Mullins, Chris Todd of Odessa, Texas, stepchildren Chad LaRoque, Jessica of Aledo, Texas, Lindsay Gerard, Paul of Odessa, Texas, grandchildren Kyla Kinley, Kaysen Bradley, Aiden Elijah, and baby Reese. Arrangements are entrusted to Schaefer Funeral Home in San Angelo, Texas. Charlotte's wishes were for cremation. A memorial service will follow at a future date. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to Shriners Hospital for Children. Online condolences can be made at www.schaeferpioneer.com. Melissa Catherine Downs, Meadow Lakes. Melissa Catherine Downs, born March 18, 1933, went to be with our Lord on January 20, 2022. She is preceded in death by her loving husband, Darby Downs, and is survived by her children, Debbie Nix, Danny Downs, and wife, Sally, Harold Downs and wife, Donna, Kathy Moore and husband, Daryl, Rebecca Rowland and husband, Robert, and Mary Arendt and husband, Terry, as well as 13 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. She is also survived by her brothers, Thomas Marsh and Finnegan Marsh. Funeral Mass will be held February 25th, 2022 at 10 o'clock a.m. at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church, Odessa, Texas. Online condolences may be made at www.clementswilcoxfuneralhome.com. Peggy Jean Lightfoot Henniger, May, Texas. Penny Jean Lightfoot Henniger, age 93, of May, passed away Sunday, February 6, 2022. A graveside service for Peggy will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 11th, in the Pleasant Valley Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Heartland Funeral Home in Early. Peggy was born to Mabel and Crystal K. Lightfoot on April 14, 1928, in Mejia, Texas. Peggy is survived by her three children, Nancy Kuykendall Jacobson of Sadler, Michael Kuykendall and wife Cindy of Austin, and Vicki Kuykendall Wilkerson of Odessa. Brother Cliff Lightfoot, grandchildren Brandy Hinton, Allison Price, John Digby, Jennifer Viercont, and Michael Kuykendall. 13 great-grandchildren and 5 great-great-grandchildren. She is also survived by numerous other relatives, nieces, nephews, and a host of friends. She was preceded in death by her husband, Charles E. Henniger, son Jeffrey Kuykendall, grandson James Thomas, parents C.K. and Mabel Lightfoot, sisters Nell Lightfoot and Bobby Thomas, brothers Richard, Kenneth, and Bill Lightfoot. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that donations be made to the Walk to End Alzheimer's at act.alz.org. Condolences, memories, and tributes can be offered to the family online at heartlandfuneralhome.net. Death notices. Barbara Palmore Mathis, Odessa. Barbara Palmore Mathis, 76, of Odessa, died Monday, February 7, 2022, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Monday, February 14, 2022, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Joe McCulloch, Midland. Joe McCulloch, 79, of Midland, died Tuesday, February 8, 2022, in Midland. Celebration of life will be held at 6 p.m. February 11, 2022, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Pastor Jeff Hoskinson is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Seneda Almadova Munoz, Odessa. Seneda Almadova Munoz, 87, of Odessa, died Saturday, February 5, 2022, in Odessa. Chapel service will be held at 4 p.m. Friday, February 11, 2022, Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Marceline Turner Perez, Odessa. Marceline Turner Perez, 84, of Odessa, died Tuesday, February 1st, 2022, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, February 12, 2022, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Graveside services will follow at 1 p.m., 2 p.m. Central, at Brunson Memorial Cemetery in Eunice, New Mexico. Visitation will be Friday, February 11th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the funeral home. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Andres M. Cecida, Odessa. Andres M. Cecida, 73, died Tuesday, February 8, 2022, in Odessa, Texas. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, February 7th. Hector Striving for Success. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Hector College Prep Middle School has a new principal and is offering a variety of extracurricular activities and electives for its 1,397 6th through 8th grade students. The campus is a charter school within Ector County ISD that is operated by Third Future Schools in Aurora, Colorado. Third Future has a charter in Midland as well at Sam Houston Collegiate Preparatory and Elementary Campus. Ector College Prep Academy was previously operated by Ector Success Academy Network. The CEO superintendent was Robert Bleich. The contract with Ector Success Academy Network was not renewed by the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees in January 2021 because the campus did not meet its goals. The school is considered to be failing under state accountability standards. The state can close the school and or remove the school board and appoint its own board to oversee the district, Ector County ISD Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said in an email. Sandy Massey came on board as acting principal of Ector College Prep in September. She had been with Dallas ISD for 9 years when Third Future hired her as Director of Instruction in Schools for Colorado. But she wanted to come down to the Permian Basin and take on the challenge at Ector. Massey will be at Ector through the end of the school year. The principal job was posted February 1st, said Zach Craddock, Executive Director of Schools. Massey said she will stay through June 30th. Quote, "It needed to be done, and we want this school to be successful, so it was important that we do what needs to be done," Massey said. Craddock said they just finished MAP testing, and the results were sent to Assistant Superintendent of Student and School Support Alicia Syverson and Chad Croson, Director of Planning and School Choice, on January 29th. Craddock said he anticipated Ector would share its programs with the school board at its meeting in February or March. He said the school averaged 1.26 years of growth in 5 months. "Most people want a year's growth in a year," Craddock said. He added that he is very proud of the students, staff, and faculty at Ector, including Learning Core content teachers, elective teachers, and learning coaches. The campus has 90 instructional staff. They also have auxiliary staff, special education teachers, and English language development teachers. Massey said there are 18 learning coaches and 8 assistant principals, 2 for every grade level, and 1 that manages all the electives and English language learners and special education, and 1 that supports the office. Quote, "We know we need to be self-sufficient. Right now, subs across the country are scarce, and so we've had to develop a model that, number one, is going to maximize student instruction and student learning," Craddock said. "Learning coaches are not held to lower standards than teachers because at any time they're going to have to step up, and our principals have done an excellent job of communicating that and maintaining that level of effectiveness," he added. The model itself actually pushes real high leverage around instruction. We do instruction all day long, except for when they're in electives or DYAD. They're constantly reading, thinking, writing, Massey said. DYAD classes offer students experiences that they might not normally get from community experts in that field, such as Taekwondo or cosmetology. Craddock said Third Future schools know their instructional fundamentals and they try to be excellent at them. Quote, "I told principals last week or 2 weeks ago, no trick plays. We don't do trick plays. We focus in on those fundamentals, and every school leader, all of our administrators, it's about leadership, culture, and instructional feedback. Those are the 3 things they focus on. We don't have a lot of initiatives. We really know what the fundamentals are, and we work crazy to get them right," Craddock said. Massey said they did lose some students in the fall that didn't like the model, but they have gained probably 25 to 30 students in just the last 6 weeks, she said. Quote, "Some are moving here from other places, whether this is their attendance zone or not, but there are a few transfers from other middle schools, and we traditionally take a transfer. If we think we can help them, we will accept them," Massey said. The campus is open from 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, Craddock said. Massey added that they are open on snow days, so parents can depend on them and there won't be a delayed start. Craddock said Ector also offers a variety of electives, and DYAD experiences. However, Craddock said if parents think conditions are unsafe, then it is an unexcused absence. Quote, all of our teachers teach through Zoom all day, so we provide synchronous instructions every day. If they stay home, if they're sick, they can just log onto Zoom. If the roads are unsafe and mom and dad can't get them here, then they can do that. But we know some of our families have to work. They don't have an option, and we're here, Craddock said. They found they can have Zoom on all the time. Quote, we have program. It doesn't cost us any more money, Craddock said. We already bought the tech. We have the tech, so now it's just an instructional expectation, end quote. Massey said there might be just one or two students in the class that are on Zoom. If many students are absent on Thursday due to bad weather, Craddock said they could request a waiver from TEA for low attendance. Quote, but we're here for our kids, we're open, and if it's unsafe, the parents, that's their call as mom and dad. We're still there for them online as well, Craddock said. He added that the school has added extracurricular activities and DYAD has 97 sections. Craddock said none of the after-school sports were eliminated and Ector has had a strong athletic record this year. They still have mariachis, band, and choir. Massey said DYAD goes outside the box, offering things like pastry, coding, taekwondo, engineering, leadership, and community service. The elective teachers are employees of Third Future with the district. The DYAD professionals are independent contractors that have been through a background check, and they are community experts, he said. DYAD experiences are held for 90 minutes twice a week. Students also take electives every day, Massey said. Craddock said students learn more about DYADs through word of mouth and some social media. Quote, we're going to do a little marketing campaign in the spring for it. Also part of DYAD, we think kids can learn anywhere, anytime, and so there's several criteria for student trips. The seventh graders at Ector that qualify will be going to Washington, D.C., and the eighth graders that qualify will be going to Costa Rica in May, Craddock said. Massey said they have to qualify for attendance, grades, and discipline. Quote, then we'll select no more than 50 students if there are 50 that qualify. If there are less than 50, then all of them will have the opportunity to go, Massey said. Craddock said this will be the culminating experience for the year, and it will be an educational experience. For Washington, he said, it could be a social studies civics trip. In Costa Rica, he said, it will be more of a science cultural diversity journey. Students will learn about the cultural and environmental differences because it is a rainforest setting, so science will tie into the trip. Quote, it will be an educational base, but they're going to get to have a really fun, unique experience that they may not get otherwise, Craddock said. Third Future will pay for the trip, he said. Overall, Craddock said they are very proud of the middle-of-the-year data Massey and her team have achieved. Quote, her faculty and staff, they're getting better every day. She's got a great group that want to be here. They believe in Ector College Prep. They believe in these students. I'll say, just on a personal note, these are some of the best-mannered, best-behaved students I've ever worked with in 25 years, Craddock said. He added that these students are, quote, exceptionally good, solid kids, and they work hard, end quote. Massey said the only way students are weeded out is if a parent makes that decision. Quote, but we don't traditionally weed kids out. We do everything we can to work with them, even in the hardest of circumstances, to get them to have some sense of getting on track and catching up, Massey said. Craddock added that they do all that, but they don't lower their standards. The schools have a dress code and are requiring everyone to wear masks. Quote, "We only have three rules. Do not disrespect staff. Do not disrupt the learning environment, the classroom, and no bullying. If you can't abide by those three rules, it's probably not a good place for you because we're not changing those rules. We run a tight ship instructionally, discipline-wise. And we don't compromise on those at any of our schools. Those are non-negotiables," Craddock said. Massey added that you don't see students with cell phones until the bell rings at Ector. Quote, "They follow the rules, but we also don't give leniency. When we say it's a no-phone policy, we mean it. We'll collect your phone and give it back to your parents. And kids now believe it, and it's just not a big issue here at all," Massey said. She said the school is very structured. All administrators and learning coaches wear blaze orange safety vests. Quote, "You can watch a transition and see how structured it is. We keep our cohorts together. They walk in lines down the hallway to their next class, and we're all over the place. This is my office, and I'm there at like 6 in the morning, and I leave it at 6:45 in the morning, and I'm not back in that office until the end of the day. We are out and about monitoring 24/7. Every person you see in one of these orange vests is an administrator or an LC that's supporting, so we are everywhere," Massey said. She added that it has helped. Quote, "Just looking all the way down the hallway, how long it is, you know if you have support at the end of the hallway or not. I don't need to know who it is. I just see this orange vest, and I know I've got three people down there that are supporting this next transition. So it makes all the difference," she said. Massey said they have lost teachers and staff in the changeover to Third Future. Quote, "I think that's pretty common, though. No model is for everyone, and that's okay. We don't apologize for who we are, but we also don't expect everyone is going to love what we do, and that's okay. So a decision made on the teacher's part to walk away is okay," she said.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.